You're listening to Dude Podcast with JC and Will. Put some pep in that step. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is JC.
And this is Will. And you, my friend, you are listening to, what are you listening to?
You're listening to the Dude Podcast. We're back.
We're better than ever. And you know, as JC and I like to say, we're a couple of BLBs. And what does that stand for, JC?
Busy little boys.
We're busy little boys. And we just haven't been able to get around to this podcast. And I know you guys have been in tears, wondering where we've been. Are we okay? The answer is, we're surviving.
I had a woman at Trader Joe's. She just punched me in the face.
No kidding.
I said, oh, what was that? I had no idea this woman was. She assaulted me. And I said, what was that? And she just looked at me and said, dude, podcast. And she walked away.
Oh, that's how upset
the duties are. That they can't get their fix.
I apologize. We got a lot going on. It turns out.
Children take time. It's shocking. Take a lot of time.
We've got kids. That's really pretty much it. We got kids, and that's really a lot. It takes up a lot of time.
I mean, an unbelievable amount of time.
And you don't, I mean, you still have the one. Does it feel like you're acclimating to the one kid routine, or is it still kind of, because when a kid is like under 3 years old, there's a level of just trying to make sure they're not going to kill themselves. That's just always on edge.
That's still going on. Yeah, no, it does feel like, and also like, here's the other problem, right? So by the time like your child started moving and grooving and doing these things, your wife was pregnant with another one, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So immediately you're having to like juggle a couple of things, and good, bad, or indifferent, you're not giving that kid all the attention it needs, right? It goes down a couple of degrees. Now they're going to learn. They're going to be fine. The problem is right now, we just got this guy. So he's getting a little bit, he's getting a little bit too much attention. I always look at it. That sounds weird because I love my son. I love my son more than anything in the world. But as a, there is moments where I'm like, am I making you a brat? Am I making you? Because like, you know what I mean? He's the only grandchild right now. He goes to his grandparents, like he's the one boy, like he's just like, you know what I mean? Like there's things like today he had a temper tantrum and I was just like, dude, the problem is when you're with, and maybe you've dealt with this, when you're with the grandparents, it's like they can do no wrong. They're like, don't discipline him. I'm like, what? Like, so he can... I bought the kid Chick-fil-A and he just had a meltdown because God forbid he can't sit in bed with grandma and watch Mickey Mouse. Like, again, dude, like life's pretty dang good. I wish I could lay around, watch Mickey Mouse, and then someone forcibly takes me out of bed and sticks Chick-fil-A in front of me. That sounds like heaven.
You know, it's funny you say that. Because there will be times where we'll be, and we live by Chick-fil-A, so we're going there quite a bit. Because it's so cheap, and they get their protein, you know what I mean? And so my son will be like, I want an apple juice with my chicken nuggets. And there's times where I feel like I gotta teach my kid, like, you're not going to get everything you want. And so I won't get him the things that he wants.
You want to give him like a cup of mud or something? Be like, oh! And you're like, see, I got you a cup of mud. You can't always get what you want. It's a lot better. Sorry, I got you the milk by accident. But guess what? That's a lot better than the cup of mud, right?
Right.
You teach them lessons. It's like Arrested Development, how they had that guy with one arm. and dramatic things.
Did you ever
see that? So there's it's in the original first three seasons of Arrested Development. There was this running
Buster.
No, there was this running bit where I guess the Bluth, the adults, Lucille and, you know, Dad Bluth, whatever his name, in order to discipline or teach the children lessons, they had some friend of the family who had one arm.
All kinds of
tragic events would unfold in order to teach lessons. And like they were.
That's why you don't tell a lie.
That's why you don't. I think another one was, that's why you leave a note, was the other one. Like something would happen, like would appear like this tragedy was unfolding and this man was losing his arm.
Like super traumatic, yeah.
And then he would turn to them and call out the lesson that they should learn, you know, which again, were like very minor life lessons.
We should hire someone to do that for us. Like when our kids are demanding like a 12-piece chicken nugget instead of an 8-piece.
We contact like war veterans and we're like, hey, listen. Oh my God. We contact the Veterans Affairs and say, listen, it's a tragedy. I know, but I have a great job. I have a good job for you. And it's to teach our children lessons while exploiting the fact that you're missing a limb. Can we do that?
It's kind of a Matt Foley situation.
It is kind of a Matt Foley situation. I mean, like, you know, as somebody, right, I think we should be very fair. Like, you're disabled, right? You lack your hearing. If you could somehow teach children a lesson in hearing and exploit that, wouldn't that be a great gift?
It would. I don't know how I would do it, but I don't either. I'm sure.
It'd be great. Like, I have a weird eye. And if I could somehow teach people a lesson and be like, that's why you don't. That's why you drink all your milk.
That's why you always put the toilet
like this. Like, that'd be great, right? Like, that's what we can always help.
That's why you always make sure you turn the sink completely off.
Completely off. I don't know why, but I had a moment today. Do you remember? When Britney Spears was at her height.
Okay.
I remember her pretty vividly for a lot of reasons. I was also going through puberty at that time. So a lot of memories with Britney Spears, but there was a song called Lucky that she did.
Oh yeah. We all know it. We all know it. It's a great song.
So lucky. Yeah. So the really strange thing about this, I don't know. I was literally watering my plants today. And I thought, this is how my mind works. Just FYI, that broken mind that I have. I'm watering my flowers.
I like to call it a beautiful mind, but continue.
Yeah. It's a beautiful mind. Yeah. I'm watering my flowers today. And I come to the realization, I'm like, oh my God, Britney Spears became lucky. She literally became, in real life, the person she sang about in that song.
Did you just now pick up on that?
Well, no.
She was clearly singing about herself.
Well, no, I know she was singing about herself, but at the same point in time, at that point, were you like, oh, you're like, all right, you're Britney Spears, you're fine. Now, I'm just saying, like, hindsight's 20, like, 15 years later, when you see her doing her weird, crazy, like, you know, drug-induced workout videos or whatever she's doing, like, whatever she's doing in that empty mansion somewhere, and it's very sad and very strange, like, she went full lucky.
But here's the thing. Lucky's not about a woman who eventually becomes crazy. Lucky's about a lonely, famous person.
Yeah, but I think, but again, it was
Britney Spears to me as a famous person who ended up kind of going crazy.
Oh, dude, not kind of. She went completely crazy.
She seems like the type of person that when you come over to her house and she makes you dinner, she tells you about this recipe that she just tried out, and it turns out is chicken tartare. You know what I mean? Like, you're dude, like, oh, no, this woman lost her mind. She's feeding me chicken tartare.
She feed me raw chicken. No, dude, she's the kind of person that, like, she's feeding you her pets.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
she's going full, you know, she's going whenever that there was that movie with, oh, God, it was Cruella DeVille. What was her name? Oh, God, what was that movie?
I
have to look it up now.
Who do you think, who is your, of all the pop stars out there, female pop stars, who is the one that's like,
Fatal Attraction. It was Fatal Attractive.
Never seen it.
And it was Glenn Close. And Glenn Close.
She fed people her cat?
No. So Glenn Close. You don't know this?
Wait. Pop star?
No.
Who fed people her cat? Oh, Glenn.
I love that I'm having to explain to you. That's even better. If that was that's much better than what it really is. But the film was Fatal Attraction, and it was Glenn Close and Michael Douglas, and they were having an affair, and she was crazy. She was Michael Douglas had like a real, she had like a real family. He was like, this woman had like nothing. And this woman, he became his whole life. That's the plot of the story, right? Crazy, crazy lady. Well, Michael Douglas's family had a pet bunny that they loved, right? So she cut at some point, like the end of the movie, right? Like, cause Michael Douglas is like trying to get rid of her. He's like, I don't love you. You're crazy. Dude. Like that's the whole film. Crazy woman falls in love with Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas trying to get rid of her. She can't get rid of this crazy woman. So at one point at the end of the movie, she comes over to his house, right? She's trying to ruin his life. She made him a meal. It's the bunny.
I bet it was delicious too.
This movie came out the year I was born. So I really hope that no one's like, gosh, dang it. That's what happens in the movie. What's the rule? What's your running rule on that?
On cooking pet bunnies?
No. On like, at some point you can discuss the end of a movie. Let's say you're at a soiree. Some fancy dinner party.
I like that word, by the way. That's a great word. It's a delicious sounding word. I would eat like 20 soirees in one sitting.
I would also tell you this. A soiree, fancy, you know, dinner party, whatever. Word not used nearly enough.
I agree. It's a good word.
But it was a great word. I felt like in the 80s, in the 90s, it definitely had a moment.
All right. Continue. So you talk about threshold for spoiling movies. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So you're there and you're like, oh, did you, you know, and I got, let's say a movie comes up and you're discussing it or a movie or a TV show. At what point, like, you know, because they're like, oh, don't tell me. If I'm at a dinner party and we're talking about Fatal Attraction and I'm like, don't tell me. Do you go, Here's the dude. Here's the deal, JC. You're literally 37 years old. That film came out 37 years ago. Sorry, man. I'm talking about the plot and the ending right now.
Here's the deal. My take is if you haven't seen a movie within like a year of it coming out, like not in theaters, and you haven't seen it, you don't get to be upset when someone ruins the plot for you. Because then you really didn't care about it. If you really need to know it. Here's the thing. There's so many movies made now that it's like, You can't possibly keep, I don't know. What does it matter? I don't know.
No, you're right. If you're the
have you ever been mad about somebody spoiling a movie for you?
Yes.
Like genuinely?
Yes, yes.
What movie was this? And how long was it?
I can't remember, but I've had moments where I'm like, gosh dang it. I know what's going to happen right now because someone said something.
I've never at one point been like, oh, you ruined Shawshank Redemption for me. I've never been like that. That's just
man. You know, there are, I'm very, like, it's also one of these weird things where I also, like, pat myself on the back, like, way too much if there's a show or something where I'm like, I didn't look that up. Like, that's the other weird thing I do now where I get, like, really proud of myself for, like, if it's something, like, I want to see, like, I'm really bad at, like, cheating and being like, I wonder what happens in it. Like, I'll do that. And then when I hold out, I feel like I have such willpower. I'm like, I didn't even need to do that. I gave myself so much. I was so proud of myself for holding out for the rehearsal season two. Like, because I had heard that the finale was insane of that show, right?
Yeah.
And I held out and didn't know anything that was going to happen. And I was genuinely shocked. And I was so like, look at me. Look at me. Look how I can.
Like, I was, you know what? I've done that. Here's the thing. I can think of one example. I once watched, what's the Gary Oldman movie? The Tiny Tinker Toys Spies or whatever?
Spy, Tinker, Soldier, Spy, whatever, like, something
really
like that.
Really highly regarded. I'm like, okay, fine, I'm going to try to watch this. And about 30 minutes in, I'm like, so far, I have no clue what is going on. And I Googled the synopsis of it, and I'm like, eh. And I just stopped watching it. I was like, I don't feel like watching it anymore. And I have no regrets about it. So I can kind of understand that, like, just being, like, proud that you stuck it through and went all the way to the end. And maybe even understanding it. But there's, you didn't have the willpower.
Film. You know what? Really? There's a lot of films like that there. I'm like, I actually should give myself more. I should have just given up on it way earlier. Like,
Speaking of. So literally like a month ago, maybe not even, I forget what channel it's on or what streaming service it's on, but I had the option to watch Game of Thrones. Okay. I'd never seen it. Really didn't care to see it, but I'm like, I'm going to see what all the hype is about. Good Lord. Holy incest. That is crazy. I was after like the first two episodes, I'm like, people get hyped about this? He's having sex with his sister. It's crazy. Yeah,
it don't stop there, buddy. It just keeps getting.
Good Lord. Like, I thought, I felt uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't understand this. And I just stopped.
I think that was sort of the allure of the show, was like everyone was watching it and you were like,
are you watching?
Oh, like, I think you were like surprised that, like, you know, your great aunt Myrtle was watching it too. You're like, great aunt Myrtle's watching this show? Oh my God. I can't believe great aunt Myrtle saw those boobs. You know, like that was the thing. I think that was part of it. Yeah.
Here's the deal. Maybe if I didn't have a sister, I might be able to enjoy it more. But when you see brothers and sisters going at it, you can't just be like, I have a sister, and I can't.
Yeah.
It's weird. Gosh. I was like, no, thanks. I'm done with this.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think that's a reasonable reaction to have. All right. So, duties, we're going to keep you in the loop because this may be the most interesting side story that me and Will here are trying to pursue. So, as we close in on 40, one of the goals that me and Will mutually have, especially since, let's just be honest, the television landscape is changing. Mm-hmm. You have some of these old gems. You know, we're really bummed out that The Late Show is ending. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, David Letterman was a show that I used to sneak as a child. I used to think he was absolutely hilarious. Really, really bummed out of what's happening over at CBS. But then you start kind of going into the dynamics. And listen, there's a lot of reasons why it's happening. You could say a lot of it's political. You could say a lot of it is because of the show's cost. All the, I think it probably, if I'm being really honest, I think it was probably a combination of a lot of different factors, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily one thing or the other. But what you do learn, which is true, is the show was especially expensive to produce. And you don't realize how much those old school late night shows cost to produce. So you almost got to think as these networks are trying to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, how eventually, you know, some of these shows that were mainstays that were really a part of Americana and our culture, the cultural fabric of America and American pop culture, are going to be disappearing. If we're talking Game of Thrones, who sits on the throne in the United States is definitely Saturday Night Live, right? It's been going on. It's going to be its 51st year. It's produced, you know, at this point, you could, you know, hundreds of certifiable movie star, I don't know if you call them all stars, but I mean, dozens and dozens of people that everybody knows, that things that have been within pop culture and that are just intertwined within like kind of modern humor as we know it. So it's me and Will's goal to actually make it to Rockefeller Center to see a taping of either a rehearsal or the actual show itself. So what we want to do is, as we progress and if we have any level of success trying to go through this process, we will chronicle it and we will report on it and give you duties what you want. So our goal is to get tickets. Here's the crazy thing, guys. As you dig further, so just to take even provide a little bit more context, right? In the United States, in the pantheon of live events, let's put it that way, right? There are things that are relatively easy to see, right? And then there are things that are pretty difficult to see. Fairly easy to see. Me and Trey and Carol Ann almost went to a live Yo Gabba Gabba show, right? We love Yo Gabba Gabba. We're going through a big Yo Gabba Gabba phase. The songs, they bang. It's great. Pretty easy to get tickets. A little expensive, but pretty easy to get tickets. On the flip side, I'm wearing this right now. It's a Masters hoodie. The Masters event is one of the most difficult tickets in
You can't buy that. What you just got right there, you can't get that online. You have to go to the Masters to get that.
I have to go to the Masters, and this is real. If you want actual swag, actual real Master swag that's not fake, you got to go to the event and get it. My uncle had a crazy story on how he went to the Masters event and what it took and the necessary steps to get there. It's pretty crazy. So it's complicated.
To your point, there are some things, like there are some artists or musicians or bands or performances that are, you know, not really that high in demand, but enough that they can tour around and the tickets are relatively, you know, decently priced and pretty easy to get to. There's some, like if you're a really good musician, the tickets are super expensive, like Taylor Swift. There's like $300 or something, you know what I mean?
The Eras Tour was probably one of the closest things to a very, very, it wasn't the Masters, but it was pretty difficult to get tickets to.
And so, that's the mark of like a hard ticket to get is price. But with SNL, it's even crazier because it's SNL, free.
Yeah, SNL's free. And yet it appears to be the most, I mean, it may be the most difficult tickets to get in. It may be in any, I mean, seriously, it may be the most difficult tickets to get in anything go. Like, I can't, outside of like the Academy Awards and something where it's like, in like truly invite only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Met Gala, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's got to be the hardest ticket to get it. That
it's definitely up there.
No, I think it's the most difficult ticket to get into that isn't invite only. Let's put it that way.
We did our research. Like, I consulted our dear friend ChatGPT and just said, like, hey, what are the creative ways to get into a taping of SNL? And they gave this, it gave this list. And it was like, some people have recorded, like, pretending to be, like, workers at 30 Rock building and being, like, a janitor and sneaking in. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah, like, people have had to, like, literally, like, work for, like, half a year to, like, get into a taping. Like, actually, like work a second job at 30 Rock in order to do it. So anyway, so that's me and Will's goal this year. We have reached out to various writers, cast members. We have both entered the lottery, which is very difficult. And then what we're going to do is probably the easiest way to get by, and actually it's kind of crazy, is Sierra O'Sullivan is probably the second. Well, I don't know. There's going to be a shakeup probably at SNL coming soon, but she was probably under Colin Jost, at least in season 50, probably the number two writer at SNL. The crazy thing is she actually replied to my email within about 6 hours, which I think is kind of crazy. And she told us, hey, use standby line. It's very difficult to get tickets. I only have a couple of tickets allotted to myself. And I can, you know, I'm saving them for a couple of dear family members for a couple of shows. So that gives you a picture of, like, if that's like the number two writer at SNL and it's that difficult for her to give tickets. I'm not saying that, like, could she be lying? Could she be exaggerating? Sure. It was a very thoughtful message, very detailed message. And it actually aligns with everything that we've read online. So I do not think she is exaggerating by any means. So what we're going to try to do is every week there is notification of the standby tickets that are available, in which you have to email, I believe, Will, at noon Eastern. So it'd be 11 o'clock your time. We have to contact NBC Studios, request these tickets, hope that we get picked in the lottery. If we get picked in the lottery, we have to go up to New York City within 24 hours, wait in line for 12 hours. We'll then be given a ticket. And then hopefully at that point, if you're given a ticket after waiting 12 hours, you can either go to the, supposedly you will either be ushered to the actual taping or the pre-taping. So me and Will have made a pact that we're going to do this every Thursday. Until the ending of the season. Both work hard to get standby. And if either of us get it, Will is going to have to cancel whatever plans he has that weekend and fly up. And we are going to piss off both of our wives, probably ruin their weekends.
Even if my daughter is getting married and I have to walk her down the aisle, I'm going to say, honey, sorry, I can't. I got to go to SNL with JC. Uncle JC.
Honey, you have a better chance of getting married again, right? Married. Than me getting tickets to the SNL. So
exactly.
Sorry.
And the good news is I don't have a daughter, but I would have to say that to her.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, we're going to chronicle that. We're going to detail it. And hopefully we can crack the system. I think, you know,
we're still trying a little other methods and like writing to specific people. But yeah, I mean, you know, I sent a crazy email to the Please Don't Destroy guys. I haven't heard anything back. I'm still holding out hope, but we're trying to do everything we can to get into a taping.
Yep. We're doing our darndest. That's for sure. What else, Will?
You were talking about how the show was around for over a decade before we were born. This show is old, right? So I was Googling. I wonder what the cast was when we were born. And it's more relevant than you would think. That's what's shocking me about it. It's like, I did not realize these guys were on the cast when we were born. Okay.
So 1987 then, right?
87 to 88. Here it is. Here's some names that kind of surprised me. Dana Carvey.
Incredible.
Which is wild. Phil Hartman.
Oh God. One of the best, like,
straight men.
Straight men ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Voice. Unbelievable voice. Just funny voice.
Yeah, oh yeah. John Lovitz, who is also underrated funny.
Oh, John Lovitz is excellent.
What?
That's the ticket.
That's the ticket. Funny. He's so funny. Kevin Nealon.
Oh, the great Kevin Nealon.
Great. There was only 10 people on that. Is that right?
Was Mike Myers on that cast?
There was only 10 people on the cast at that time. Isn't that crazy?
What about people that were featured? If you remember what they do, and they still do it, right? They have, like, you have the cast, the core cast, and then you have, like, featured players who, I don't know, maybe they'll, like, you know, be a waiter at a table in some sketch or something like that.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Interesting.
Who else? Was that? That wasn't 10 people,
I mean,
was it?
Those are the only, I mean, Al Franken's one of them, but I don't really know a lot about it. And Dennis Miller,
Dennis Miller. I mean, these were, listen, pound for pound, excellent cast.
Yeah, for sure.
But Mike Myers wasn't on the cast at that point. Did he come a year later? Mike Myers would be part of the.
Who?
Mike Myers.
You know.
I wonder when Mike joined.
When did it
must have been
Mike,
like a year or two later.
Myers joined SNL. Mike Myers joined the cast of Saturday Night Live on January 21st, 1989. We were 2 years old, friend.
Man. How didn't I remember that as a two-year-old? Gosh dang it.
When did Conan join SNL? I'm a big Conan O'Brien fan.
Actually, don't say this. I actually think I know this.
88 to 91.
Oh, really? I thought he was a writer there in the 90s. So it was late.
No, 91. Yeah.
Okay, but that's okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So here's hoping, and if JC and I have to stand in that line all night long, and you know, January in New York City, so be it. We'll put some of those, like, heat warmers in our pants and hope for the best. Okay, the first time I went to New York City, you and I and Donnie Martin went to a taping of Jimmy Fallon when he was doing the late night show. And you want to tell the audience what happened that night?
Well, there was a couple things that happened that night. That was one of the most intense snowstorms that New York had had in, like, probably like two decades or something
they
like that.
They were calling it a blizzard is what they were calling it.
They called it a blizzard. They shut down the tunnels.
Yes.
Shut down. So, like,
we had to take Ubers, and they were, like, sliding all over the place. It was crazy.
If you recall, I think this may have even been pre-Uber, which is crazy.
You might be right. I think we had to get what
was called a gypsy cab at the time,
yeah,
which was just like a rogue black car. They used to be in New York. God, this is dating myself. In New York, you know, if you'd normally, you know, hail a taxi, you throw your hand up, it's got a light on, right? That's the indicator that that they're going to take you. If there's a light on, if there's no light, they're not going to take you, right? But there'd be these unmarked, like, black cars, and they just called them gypsy cabs. Because there was no meter, so they could tell you what they could just.
And you had to negotiate, like, prices. Yeah, it was weird. It was crazy.
And again, like, it was like at this point, like, a foot and a half of snow. So, like, you better believe homeboy was negotiating. And he definitely had a lot of leverage. I do want to say, like, we went all of maybe, like, I don't know, 11 blocks, and he probably got like $75 out of us. So good for him. So we went to a taping of Jimmy Fallon. This is before Jimmy Fallon inherited the Tonight Show. And he also shook her hand. Like, I got a handshake with uh with Jimmy, and that was awesome, man. It was cool to watch how the sausage is made. It's very unusual because
went to Carnegie Deli. Is that even around anymore?
No, that's what's crazy too. We went to Carnegie Deli. Carnegie Deli closed. It may have been a victim of COVID, or it was like right before that.
It was great. It was not. I was like, what is the hype here? They put a pound of meat on your sandwich. I'm like, who's eating this?
That's part of the allure. You know, it's a lot of meat, man. It's a lot, you know, so, and for some people, they don't need all that meat. But, RIP, Carnegie Deli. Stuck in a snowstorm.
So here's the other thing I remember about that trip. We stayed in the New Yorker Hotel, which is right across the street from MSG. What was happening at the New Yorker that weekend was the international dog show, whatever. And the whole second floor was reserved for it had little treadmills that the puppies could stay in shape on. And it had the biggest pet pamperers you've ever seen, people rolling their pets around in strollers. And it was pretty wild to see the insanity that is competitive dog show people.
Yeah, yeah. You would see dogs with Invisalign in. You know, they'd be Invisalign out of the dog and be like, oh, well, its teeth are now straight.
Like dogs that were being better taken care of than
easily. That was a great there was a lot of hilarious and unusual things going on. Speaking of SNL too, another crazy thing, Justin Bieber was performing on SNL that week we were there. And it was torrential snowstorm, and there were people lined up, if you remember this, outside of Rockefeller Center in the snow, sleeping bags on top of them, because they were going to move. I'm sure people had frostbite and all kinds of issues. It was a very interesting trip. Yeah. There was another moment I remember, because they had shut down the tunnels. There was literally no one in Times Square. So at one point we were in Times Square, and there's literally you could have shot a movie or something. It was crazy. No one was there. It was nuts.
It's crazy. It was pretty wild. It was, it was kind of the sight to behold. It was really fun to be there at that time. Another trip that we took to New York City one time, you and I decided we were going to try to get into a taping of Kelly and Michael back when they were a duo. And we got to the office and the lady goes, no, they're not doing a tape. Or they either said it was too full or there's no taping. So she goes, but you know what's happening that you can go to is Demi Lovato is doing a show in Central Park. I know nothing about her, but we went and we probably stayed for 5 minutes.
It got a little weird when it was just us and a lot of teenage girls, right? That felt a little.
It was weird.
We don't need to be here. This isn't good. This isn't good for anybody.
Yes. We've had some interesting trips to that city.
Dude, we've had some great ones, man. I mean, again, that's my favorite, old New York City. It's a place that.
Any duties listening who have any great ideas, any smart ideas for us to get into a taping of SNL, let us know, because, we won't go as far as cheating, but we'll do something dress up as SNL mascots and we'll come in and we'll dance.
We would never cheat to get into SNL.
No,
I'll
tell you what.
Followers.
I'll wear a bikini into that building if it's necessary. I'll do anything embarrassing to myself. That's for sure.
Okay. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, if you and I have to go in there, wearing coconut bras and hulas, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. For
Just
sure.
Just give us some ideas. We'll take any creative ideas.
For sure. For sure.
Well, Mr. Crumb, what else we got here?
Well, I think we need to end on a high note, you know? If our esteemed producer, you know, is going to be subjected to listening to this.
You know, Mr. Parker Farrell, something. By the way, Parker Farrell is going to be editing this for us. He's a dear friend who we'll probably have him on the podcast at some point. That guy's got stories for sure.
That guy's got a lot of stories and is maybe the sweetest human being I've ever met in my life. Like, it's one of those weird things where, like, you know, at some point in life, you're like, well, I'm going to meet more people that are nice, that, you know, no, still haven't met people as sweet as that guy. Like, mm-hmm. He's still it's kind of like I don't know, was it the 88 or the 87 Chicago Bears defense, where in your head you're like, there's going to be a defense just as good as the Chicago Bears defense. They still say it's the best defense. That's Parker Farrell still being such a sweet guy. You know, no one's stopping him. It's incredible. He just he's truly elite at being a sweetheart of a human being.
Yes, he is.
I was just, you know, you were telling me, like, it's back to school, man. So you've been taking your kid to Spanish speaking. So, like, tell me, just how's that been? Is there any? Has it been fun, weird, hilarious?
He's been going to school for, as of tomorrow, he will have been in school for a week. He's kind of on the old side for his grade. He's in kindergarten. He really should kind of be in first grade. But to do the Spanish immersion program, you have to start at kindergarten. So he's in kindergarten. He just turned 6, and it is all Spanish. They start out with all Spanish. And we've been told that even if your kid doesn't speak Spanish, kids' brains are so malleable. They really can, like, they're really good at adapting to where they can just kind of start understanding things pretty quickly. It's fascinating. So
it's awesome, dude. It's awesome because eventually, like, he's going to be able to, when he's older, like, he could, like, move to Spain, or he could, like, literally be like, you know what, I kind of want to go work in South America for a little bit. Yeah,
I told my wife when he got accepted, I said, I think we just changed the course of our son's life. Just knowing a different language is huge. So he's doing this whole semester, his teacher is speaking nothing but Spanish. In theory, by the time he's in fifth grade, he's going to be fluent in Spanish. So
that's awesome. It is kind of horrifying, though. I mean, here's the challenge with that. He literally can take advantage of you in a whole new way that you'll have no idea that, like, can you imagine all of a sudden being able to, like, speak another language, like, in front of your parents, and, like, they have no idea what's going on? That's like a superpower.
Well, luckily for me, my sister and brother-in-law are fluent in Spanish, so if I got to record him and have them translate, I can do what I got to do.
Yeah. Are you gonna have, like, a Home Alone style, like, talk boy that you're, like, recording your son on and play it back for Pastor John? Be like, hey, I think he's talking about me. It's like, oh, he just wants to get a couple more apples at the he really is not happy with the fruit selection that you've been having at the grocery store. Yep. You may want to check on that.
But Jordan and I like to think of it as, if Rowdy, our youngest, goes there, which he probably will, you know, one day we can go to Spain and we got some people who can translate for us.
I love it, man. I think that's excellent. My thought was, were you going to go, like, with a different language with him so that you have
French.
Two kids?
There is a French immersion, but it's not in the same school. The school that Archie's in is strictly Spanish. It's really close to our house, so we'll probably keep. But here's the thing. Isn't it kind of funny to have a little, like, pale white redhead kid who speaks Spanish? Like, that would be hysterical. Rowdy kind of feels like a Hispanic name, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, no. No, it doesn't.
I'm Robbie Sanchez.
Well, maybe if your last name was Sanchez, but yeah, I think it's like one of those things where I don't know if you've ever been on YouTube and you've seen like the like. Again, it has to be like the most stereotypical like white dude, right? Like your most go into like an Asian restaurant, like a true like Chinatown or maybe they're in like Hong Kong or whatever and speak like absolutely perfect like Cantonese or you know what I mean, like Mandarin, excuse me. And like the reaction people have is just incredible. So yeah, it would be awesome, especially again, your son, your super, super pale redhead son, if he speaks perfect Spanish, that would be pretty mind-blowing.
It'd be amazing. It's funny you say that. So my sister used to live in Honduras, and we went to visit her. When she picked us up from the airport, you know, when you get out there, there's a lot of people at the airport where there's like taxis and stuff, and it's just people trying to hustle. I mean, let's be honest, white people that come in, they're trying to hustle like foreign looking people, right?
Sure.
I think that's common for a lot of airports. And so my sister was like talking to those people. They were all coming up to us. And she was, and when I heard my sister speak Spanish to these like native speaking Hondurans, it was like I was no longer looking at my sister Emily. I was listening to Yolanda talking to, like, it was like that wasn't my sister. It was some other lady. It's amazing what dialect and different language does to a person, because my sister sounded night and day different.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
That is crazy.
My aunt was the same way. My aunt speaks fluent German, and we were in Germany.
Oh, really? Which aunt is this?
Mia.
No kidding.
Yeah, she speaks fluent German. She's from, because her mom and dad are from Germany.
That's wild.
And so she was like, I don't really speak, you know, I speak it. Like, she's so like, you know, like. I don't speak it super fluently. You know, I'm embarrassed. And like,
it's fun to hear.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And she's like making small talk. And again, to your point, the dialect changes, like her cadence changes. Everything about it is wild. You're like, who are you? It's crazy. It's cool.
It is cool. It's awesome. Fun.
That's cool, man. Yeah, so we're same thing with Trey. He's going to start going to school a couple hours a day. Now, it's not a Spanish immersion school. It's not that. It's Little Angels, spelled L-I-L. Angels, like a rap. It sounds like a rapper name.
Nice.
Going to Little Angels, 3 hours a day, or Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that'll be good. We're excited to, you know.
It's great. No, it's little. When we started putting Archie at 3 into a Mother's Day out 2 days a week, his cognitive abilities, his like speaking, his problem solving skills, everything went way up. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. By the way, I love the name Mother's Day Out. It always made it sound like She's going on the town. Mm-hmm. Like, mom's got some big, exciting plans at Mother's Day Out.
She should. Mom needs a drinky winky and headed to the mall.
What a ridiculous name. Is that still in the vernacular of... Do they still call it Mother's Day Out?
Well, a lot of churches do that. And when he was going to a church, Mother's Day Out.
I mean, this is at a church too, but it just, again, I would have thought over the years that language would have changed. I don't know why. It just feels very dated. It feels like one of these, like, a woman getting out of the house. This is great. Like, it does feel like such a, like, broken, like, I don't know, like, backwards thing. I don't know. It's funny.
Yeah, it does kind of sound dated for sure. But
that's awesome. Are dead out. There you go. Well, hey, we're happy to be back, duties. Join us on our SNL adventure as hopefully we'll keep you updated. We're going to keep you updated. We got a new producer. Shout out to Parker Farrell. Love you for doing this. And yeah, hopefully we're going to be at least try to do two episodes a month, pumping them out on a regular basis, and have a lot of fun with you guys going into 2026. So duties, have an awesome week. And great, we love you.
Yeah, we do love you. And we're glad to be back.
So glad to be back. Love you.
Back into your ear holes.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. All your ailments and woes. Mm-hmm. With our voices.
Love it. Love it.
Dude.
All right. Cut it.
Cut it, Will.
Bye.
Bye.